Anuja Dalvi is the first female physiotherapist in the IPL 2020 and is an alumnus of GSMC. She is a musculoskeletal and sports physiotherapist involved in multiple ventures. She runs an MSK and sports injury clinic and is also the founder of Physio Concepts Education Limited, which provides evidence-based community education in the field of healthcare. Presenting to you all our special guest, Anuja Dalvi.
Hello ma'am, we welcome you to Gosu Chat. First of all, I congratulate you on your achievements. So let us begin, shall we? Tell us about your experience with the Rajasthan Royals team.
So thank you so much, first of all, Saloni and Prachi, for reaching out to me. It's always very special to come back and interact with students from GSMC and KM. So thanks a lot. And IPL was obviously very unique experience, once in a lifetime. As you know, it's world's richest cricket league. So, being up close and be a part of it was a very special experience. I have worked in cricket for almost a decade now, but this was men's cricket. Mainly, I was associated with women's cricket so far. So being in men's cricket, being at the top of it was, quite an experience. It gave me a lot of good exposure to world of sports physio, SNC. There's so much happening in the background. So many efforts from, so many people who are associated with the franchise. So you get to experience that firsthand is a very special feeling. I have also worked with IPL in 2014, but that was with IMG. It was a work in capacity of a medical coordinator for the league. So that was a different experience, and being associated with a franchise was definitely very different. And so many learnings to carry for the rest of the life, many positive learnings to carry. So it was very special, yes.
Why did you take medicine as a career? Also, if you would like to throw some light on physiotherapy.
Well, I always wanted to be a doctor. As far as my memory goes, when I was a young kid and someone asked me, what do you want to be? And I used to always answer, doctor. And, I had that small doctor's toy set, which I'm sure all of us had. So maybe, that was, I don't know who gifted me that. I don't know, after that gift, I had this, sort of desire to be in medical field. But as I was growing, I found myself extremely interested in sports. I wasn't playing much, but I was hooked onto TV all the time. Like, I used to watch tennis, Formula One, football, cricket, all sports, like throughout the day. Anytime if you ask me, what are you doing? And I would have told you, I'm in front of TV, I'm watching game. This game is coming live, that game is going on. So I was very interested in sports. And, if I look back, when I entered physiotherapy, so that's where I started searching. And I used to see this physios coming down, running on the field, attending to players. And that used to amuse me a lot. So then I started reading about physiotherapy, like what do they do? What do the physios do? And then I realized, probably it's not that bad field. I would like to be a physiotherapist, because it is still associated with medical, core medical subjects. And I wouldn't have to spend a lot of time study and be a surgeon. So the second option was, to be probably a surgeon, or maybe orthopedic surgeon. But I realized that when I joined physio as well, I was so interested in musculoskeletal. I actually literally, sort of used to neglect neuro community, cardio SP. I used to bunk my postings also of other, other subjects. And I used to spend extra hours sitting in orthopedic wards. I still have very fond memories from first year itself. Even if it was not my posting, I used to go to orthopedic wards, read files, try to read MRI, X-rays, talk to those patients. That sort of thing. So I was always interested in medicine. And then later on, I found that I have this love for sports. and I wanted to be associated in some capacity with sports. So yeah, that's why I chose physio. And physiotherapy, I think, even in those days, was probably misunderstood. So even now, I feel like it is a still a misunderstood field at large. What it is abroad, especially in a country like Australia, where I studied, and what it is perceived and practiced in India, there is a big difference, you know, which we all would like to bridge that gap, would reduce that gap. Yeah, and that's what we are working, you know, for so many years now, to change the face of physiotherapy and change the way how people perceive it. And not just people, you know, the unfortunately medical practitioners, so, you know, the way the medical world, the core medical world perceives it even now is, I feel we need to educate them a lot in coming years. It's changing fast. It has changed so fast and so much in last 10 years. It's been 11. This is my 11th year as a physio, but still there is a lot to do.
How did GSMC contribute to the physiotherapist you are today?
So I'll tell you one more story. When I was in my 12th, before MHCT, I had decided that I'm only going to enter KEM Hospital to study physio. So I had already decided. Still, I was thinking, okay, maybe I might be, you know, get into MBBS and then I'll be a doctor. But that also, I thought, okay, if I have to enter a college, it has to be KEM. I have this very, you know, unexplained love for institutions. I was part of. So, yeah, I was very particular that I wanted to enter GSMC, and those were great 4.5 years. I got to learn a lot, and it's not just the physiotherapy department. You know, the amount of exposure you get from the orthopedic department of KM, I think that matters a lot. The number of patients you're going to get to see. You know, there is a joke that if you have a medical book and if something is written that it's a rare condition or it's a rare disease and rare situation, and chances are high you will get to see that in KM, because we get to see so many patients, isn't it, in a day, in a month, in a year. And I think that's what makes you a better clinician and a better medical practitioner. So I owe tremendously to GSMC and KM for those early years.
You completed your master's in Australia, but came back to work here in India. That isn't generally much heard of.
As I said, you know, I have this love for institutions I want to be a part of. So after KM, it was University of South Australia, which, you know, people who are associated with physio would know that it's one of the very reputed unis in the world. And especially when it comes to physiotherapy, it's a, you know, it's a landmark university. You had Maitland, you know, who structured the course there for masters of physiotherapy. So I wanted to get into a University of South Australia. That was decided, you know, from my third year. Went there, studied, got a tremendous exposure, tremendous knowledge. But I realized one thing, even while studying, that I always wanted to come back, because whatever I was studying, I wanted to bring it back to my country, to my city, and to our sports. You know, that I should come back and be useful to our athletes, you know, make them better, make their performances better. So that was, I mean, staying back was never an option for me. I had decided that I will go back to my country and I will work there and create a difference. So it's not that I came back for any family pressure or, you know, I was told to come back. It was my choice, my decision. And I am glad that I took that decision, because I always had more opportunities here in India. I could have made a successful physio in Australia as well, but I wanted to come back to India. I had better opportunities here.
being a specialist in musculoskeletal physiotherapy, how do you manage to maintain your own well-being and posture in a field physically as much demanding as it is mentally?
Oh, well, thank you for that good question. Because many of us neglect, our own health, not just physical, mental health as well. And I think it's very important, especially in my field, because, you know, we work in sports, which is very demanding. You know, you have players around you who need your attention 24/7. There is administrative pressure as well. So you need to perform, you need to be on top of your game all the time. And the same thing I carry at my clinic as well. It's not just me, it's my entire team. Now we are six of us. And my entire team, we are always ready for work, ready to perform our best. And in our field and the way we work, especially, we follow Australian system, of work or physiotherapy. So we do a lot of hands-on at the clinic, and that gives us, quick results with clients. So to do that, you need to be really fit. And the other thing is we talk a lot, like maybe history taking, maybe the explanation and the education, the awareness part of it. We are talking constantly, like throughout the day. So you need to take care of your mental health as well, because to engage in conversations continuously with clients, you need to be focused. And for that, you need to be, first of all, physically fit. You can't be fatigued and tired, right? So that's a very good question, because I realized over the time that if you're fit, you can work better as physios. And again, I'm saying, especially it is true for the practice that we have at our center, which is very manual therapy-based practice, Maitland-based practice. And yes, for that, fitness is tremendously important. So it's not just me. I push people who are around me all the time to eat well, to exercise, maintain their mental well-being. I'm glad that my team reciprocates positively to that. So if you come to my clinic and if you see all of us, we are pretty fit, I would say. And I think that way we can inspire our clients as well. I mean, that's one request not just to my team, actually to whichever, the students I meet. I meet many students for counseling and mentorship, and I always tell them, if you want to be into musculoskeletal physio and in particularly in sports, you have to take care of your fitness, first. It is really, really important. So, yeah, I mean, I don't particularly do something which is very vigorous regime, but I try to do my exercises daily, and also at the clinic, we talk about ergonomics and we talk about taking breaks. It's very important for us also to take breaks. And we tend to do that at the clinic, and so as my team. So yeah, fitness for a sports physio, for a MSK physio, is very important.
Who do you consider your mentors, and in what way their mentorship has refined your skills?
Well, there are many people who have influenced my life so far. It's been a decade now, and they have influenced my life in many ways. So when I think about a mentor, it's not just my professional world. It's the way they inspire me to be a better professional and a better human being as well. So if you see over the time, I've been really fortunate that I met not just popular, but very skillful physios. Because they were skillful, they were obviously popular, in a way, but they were all really good and skillful physios. I don't know if you have come across my venture, which is called Physio Concepts, through which we do educational work. And There is a motto that we always say at Physio Concepts: to be an expert, you need to be with one. So I was very fortunate from my young days to have seen and worked under, be with one of the finest physios, I would say, especially in the field of cricket. I was very young when I entered National Cricket Academy, and there was a physio named Paul Close. He was the head there. Paul has done Bangladesh cricket, New Zealand cricket. He was the head for many years at NCA. So that was the beginning, come across modern ways and advanced ways of physiotherapy and, the whole world of sports physio. So Paul, Ashish, John, of course, John Gloucester, John has very positively influenced our professional life, and he's been a real mentor. So not just professionally, he brings in, lots of wisdom from his past experiences, from his personal life, and that is very helpful. It has been really helpful. When I came back from Australia, I thought that I have come at a standstill, like I'm not progressing. There was a time where there was a lot of frustration that I can't update myself and I can't develop myself. But then working with John has helped me to keep developing myself as a physio, as a professional. So yeah, John has been a tremendous support. Also at the uni, there were, some of the legendary physios, you call them, Mark Jones was at the uni. He was the director of my program. David Butler, I'm fortunate one that I was from one of the last batches that he took so many lectures for us. So looking at David, listening to him was inspiration in itself. Or Dean Watson, if you have heard his name, he's a headache specialist. And there are many physios, especially in South Australia, they are experts in their own field. And to have learned under them is an experience itself. And that pushes, that pushes your limit, that makes you a better physio. And as I said, because you have got that exposure of the experts around you, you tend to do better work. So you tell yourself, okay, you are on the right track and you are on the fastest track to be a better physio and a skillful physio. So all the mentors, I have met in my life, the experts I have met in my life, they have influenced my professional as well as my personal development a lot.
That's a great insight when you say, to be an expert, you need to be with one.
I have always given to students as well, whenever I speak to them, I always tell them, you have to find someone to follow. If you can't be your own hero, then you have to follow someone. It can be he, it can be she. Find out, there are so many people on internet. The world is getting smaller. So many of the physios, they have their own Instagram. They have their Facebook, Twitter. They are uploading research every day. They are talking about and experience their experiences. They're sharing their knowledge. And you don't have to be in touch with them or be under them. You can, virtually follow them. And that itself will probably be good enough to make you a better professional. Many a time students say, no, we don't have any, we don't have any expert around us, or we don't have any role model around us. But I think that's just an excuse. The world is all virtual now, and I'm sure you can find someone to follow and to be a better professional and to get inspired.
In an area as competitive as sports, how do you manage to stand out in the crowd?
I have set a very harsh criteria for not just myself, for all of us, to call a day a good day at work. So first of all, first thing is never take anyone or anything for granted. You have to perform 100% each and every time. So where I come from a clinical background, right? Or it can be sports where I'm working with athletes. So this is the first rule that you're not going to take any moment or any client or any athlete for granted. You have to perform 100% each and every time. And that way, you know, days and your work accumulates. And then after a few years or a few months, you realize that so much of good work you have done. And then you call yourself, you know, a successful physio. You need not be a popular personality, but you are doing well at work every day because you're giving 100% to your work, 100% focus, 100% efforts, 100% mental, you know, analysis going on, reasoning going on. So there is never a, you know, sort of a lazy or a neglecting moment at work. I think that's what makes a good day at work for me.
Yeah, that actually makes sense because there's always some kind of error that is happening. So the higher level we set for ourselves, the better we perform relatively.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. If you are 100% focused, errors would be less. And then, you know, there are days, obviously, when you would end up missing something, or then the clients go back home and then they say that, okay, I'm not better. Or you, I mean, you're not getting them better in expected 2 or 3 sessions. So these are the goals we have set for the team. The client has to get better up almost up to 70%, 80%, if not 100%. In 2 to 3 sessions, because then I know I've had a proper diagnosis and my management plan was to the point. If that doesn't happen, then, you know, we are probably thinking about what wrong we have done. And sometimes, yeah, it does happen that you miss things, you know, so many things go in the background. But if you have more and more better days at work, error-free, and, you know, with full focus and attention, I think that's what makes a successful career.
Now that we're talking about virtual world, I think the pandemic has accelerated digitalization exponentially. So what challenges did you face implementing tele-rehab in your practice?
So tele-rehab slowly has, you know, its own pros and cons. And for a physiotherapy setup that we have, as I said, you know, we are into manual therapy. We would really like to see people moving in front of us and, you know, treat them, which I know, like, you know, there is a whole group of people who would not like to do active, passive management. But passive management does help, you know, in the initial phase of management. And then you can jump onto active management and can get going from there. So for us, there was, yeah, initially it was very difficult to adjust. What we all used to do is come to a conclusion, you know, come to a good diagnosis, what the person is suffering from. But because we could not do any manual therapy, and then the whole management was dependent on active management. And what I have found with our kind of population, you know, not many people are into fitness and exercises as such. So even talking about basic movement patterns, basic exercises was a challenge. Explaining them, getting it done out of them was definitely a challenge. So in fact, sometimes virtual sessions were more exhausting than clinical sessions. So with few clients, it was really easy. Somebody, let's say like athletes and sports people who already knew their stuff, they know what to do. You just have to guide them. You have to give them programs, and they were good with it. But yeah, managing virtual sessions for general population at times was a challenge because of lack of general, you know, general fitness awareness and the movement awareness that we lack in our population. It was challenging. But we have done so far a good job. I mean, we have given satisfactory results. But I feel that, I don't know, if there was a better movement awareness generally in the community, then for a physiotherapist, virtual sessions can be much more effective and efficient.
So a lot of students today have paramedical courses as their second choice, the first being MBBS. As a result, they often stand dejected for quite a long time. What is your take on this, and what would you like to convey to these students?
Well, this I have been hearing since my first year of college when I entered physiotherapy. That time it was around me, and now I hear it, you know, from you all people, yeah, that why don't you comment on such these scenarios? Or maybe, you know, sometimes ma'ams used to say that, you know, students should listen to you all, you know, they should get inspired. So I'm quite actually surprised that you would like to ask me this question even now, because I used to think that students now should feel that they have much better opportunities as physios, or, you know, as occupational therapists, speech therapists, because there is so much to do. Especially now, let me talk just about physiotherapy, because I have seen the field for last 11 years. Trust me, after being a physiotherapist, there is this whole world full of opportunities, you know, in front of you. You just have to tap into the right areas, right circles. You know, you yourself need to be obviously a better professional, a better physio to compete with others. But then if you have this thought of dejection right from your first and second year, how are you going to do justice to your study years, you know, those 4.5 years? Because I see students sometimes cribbing from first year itself. And, you know, that's not a good sign, because you yourself made that decision, made that choice to get into physiotherapy or maybe any other paramedical field. But especially when it comes to physiotherapy, I would really like to tell people that there's so much to do. There's so much to do. There are exciting opportunities outside, you know, in the outside world out of college. They just need to get into touch with the right people, get right guidance, and probably they won't feel dejected. Because I think in the other thing, probably, you know, in Indian education system, parents heavily guide students, keep their kids, which I have always seen. And I'm completely against it. Because what eventually happens is the student hasn't made their own decision. And maybe their passion was not medical or was not physiotherapy, and they're forced to do it, or they are just, you know, told that if you are an intelligent student, you need to be, you need to get into medical field, or you need to be engineer, somewhere, you know, some intellectual fields. I mean, these are considered as intellectual fields, but whereas you see many other fields, you know, where people are doing tremendously well. So at the end of it, if you are into paramedical fields, there is a lot to do, is what I would like to tell them. All the students who are feeling that, oh, okay, I don't have any future and I'm not going to earn much. You know, that is the second worry, isn't it? That first is, okay, well, I am in physiotherapy. And then second thing is, okay, when I become a physio and when I come out of my, you know, my college years, I'm not going to earn much as my other medical colleagues. And that's completely wrong, because your remuneration, you know, capacity is not dependent on from which field you come from. It is totally dependent on you, you know, how you shape your career and how you shape the opportunities given. So I think to all the physios especially, I really would like to tell them that probably they don't have much idea how much there is to do in the field of physiotherapy. Not just MSK, in everything, cardiorespiratory, community, neurophysiotherapy, and there are many opportunities out there, and I'm sure they will not be disappointed. But for that, they need to give 100% to their studies and be a good physiotherapist.
So the bottom line is all about the individual himself.
Always, it was always about the individual. It was never, there is nothing wrong with the field. Nothing wrong. And there are many opportunities. If not in India, you can go abroad, and, you know, there are multiple opportunities. So it's nothing wrong with being a physio. In fact, it's a very good thing. It gives you a lot of freedom to explore a lot of other options.
some anecdotes you'd like to share from your undergrad years?
From my undergrad years. Well, as I said, you know, I used to bunk other postings a lot, especially community. And my, I don't know if you're going to make teachers listen to this, but some of them know it. I used to give them, you know, I used to always come back and tell them that there is this event going on and I am the organizer of this particular thing. I'm doing some poster. I want to do some more research, you know, related to, you know, whatever I have been given. And yeah, especially in my fourth year, I mostly bunked many of the Pete's Neuro and community postings. But at the end of it, I used to go and do extra hours, as I said, at the OPD or, you know, orthopedic wards. Yeah, but otherwise, mostly I was a very studious kind of person. So I used to spend a lot of time in the library. Yeah, not many stories, not many interesting stories from my undergraduate years as such.
A last question. A word of advice to Anuja Dalvi of 2010 and a future note to Anuja Dalvi of 2030.
To Anuja from 2010, I think I would like to tell her that be less impatient because she always wanted to do too many things in less time and achieve more and more. So I would like to tell her that, you know, it's okay to slow down. It's okay to do things at your own pace, but to the best of your ability. Sometimes learn to say no to things and to people. You can't do everything on your own. Yeah, I mean, that would be advice to my younger self. And if I have to give any advice or probably think about my future self, I think it's been 2-3 years that, in fact, I have done better work, bigger opportunities came my way in last 3-4 years, but I have been doing work at my own pace. You know, I've not been so harsh on myself and pushing myself to the limit. So I would like to continue that and tell my future self that you know, there is one thing that you should never forget, that you should have this childlike hopefulness towards future. Because nothing is constant, you know, anything can change dramatically in life. And small, small things happen, but when you look at the bigger picture, they rarely matter. So that's, you know, the advice for the future, Anuja, that stay childlike, hopeful, and many good things are going to come in future. Be hardworking the way you are and keep working.